Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Have you ever gone through a period of time where sex just didn't feel right? At least not all the way. I was there. You said to me that your sex drive was still high.
Oh, yeah.
But your drive to have sex with me.
Let me just...
But then about a year after I finished having kids, I start noticing that I am getting to these heights and peaks and new experiences of pleasure. This can't be normal, right? So I started researching and talking to others, and it turns out that a lot of people found that after a major life change, sex got significantly better. Why? And this question brought me to a formula that I promise will change your relationship with sex for the better by the end of this video.
I had so much like shame about my body, shame about being a woman, right? Shame about like what I was interested in. But really, really and truly, when you look at these temple walls, it's like, well, if they can do it, why can't I?
This episode of Lovers is presented by Bumble. Date your way on Bumble.
Jared, we're filming today.
Yeah, I'm already setting up.
When you fall in love with the process, you fall in love with the war of your work. So I think you're in a beautiful place. You're in a position to go to war, which means you're in a position to win. This was a DM that my friend Trip Fontaine sent to me as I was talking about the period of time that I'm coming into right now. And I think that that first line, when you fall in love with the process, you fall in love with the war. And when you're not in love with the process, then it's very difficult to have the energy, the bravery, the stick-to-itiveness to go to war. And when I think about why I ended the podcast in 2023 or took a pause on it, it's because I was out of love with the process. And I'm glad to be back here today with a flat chest. Last time you guys saw me, I was like double D'd up and much longer hair, but much more damaged hair. So I'm really glad to be back here and feeling like a fresh, renewed version of myself. With, of course, a fresh, renewed title, Hello Lovers. We're dropping the friends because I think that's really what my work is about. It's letting go of some of the things that I had had as staples of my career for such a very long time and really just embracing exactly who I need to embrace to be most impactful and the kinds of messaging that I think will make my work more impactful. So in this intro episode, before we kick off a really exciting run of incredible guests, I just talk about the three things I think are integral to mind-blowing, incredible sex. And I promise you, if you figure out how to activate and engage and play with these three things, you are going to have the best sex of your life. As I will confidently say, I'm having the best sex of my life today. So I am so pleased to announce that in my first official role as a teacher, I have a class on Masterclass.
Are you ready to have better sex? In this class, you'll learn how to build sexual confidence and understand the dynamics of attraction. Whether you're casually dating, happily married, or somewhere in between,
We're going to be learning some tips on mastering seduction in order to build deeper bonds. I have worked with a lot of dating apps, so I am armed with all of the tips and tricks for getting maximum attention. Every time that you upload a new photo, that you change a prompt, that tells the algorithm, show this person to more people. This is called the sexy eye triangle. Are you ready? We make eye contact in the eyes, look down at their bodies, and we lower our chin, and then using off-kilter touch, like the Spider-Man kiss that we all love, that upside-down one, makes your presence linger a little bit longer because that person was like, wow, that was kind of interesting. A lot of people have untapped sexual confidence that they haven't discovered yet. Whether you work at a hot dog stand or you are a top model, you've got sex appeal. So why not play with that? I'm Shan Boodram, and we are turning up the heat on Masterclass.
If you have yet to watch my class on Masterclass, no stress. You are not late. The bell just rang. It was just released last week. So go on ahead to masterclass.com/Shan to learn everything that I know about sex and seduction. All right, so now for the part that I hope you all have been waiting for. Let's talk about how to have mind-blowing sex. And if you visit my website, which I hope you do because it's brand new and I invested a lot into it, but if you visit my website, you'll see at the very top, there's the line, learning about love should be as mind-blowing as making it. And that's a double entendre there because, yes, we want the mind-blowing sex, and y'all know what I mean by that, but we also want the mind-blowing sex. Why shouldn't sex be a space where we can bring all of us, the range of our humanities, every smell that can come out of us, every liquid, every sound, every sweet whisper, every thought, every fear, every freedom? Sex is a space where we can truly belong. And to achieve that kind of acceptance is something beautiful to have for and with yourself and something godly to offer to another human being. And I've really spent this past year exploring and diving into what does sex mean for me? What does great sex mean for me? And especially coming off of having two kids and finding my way back to myself and my groove, that question has been even more pressing. And to find the answer has felt mind-blowing. I also realized a fault that I had in my pursuit of sex education. For the past 20 years, I have thought that in order to have great sex, you have to center pleasure. What I've now realized is what you really need to center is freedom. So many of you identify with being sex positive, and traditionally sex positivity is thought of the freedom to. The freedom to love who you want to love. The freedom to love how you want to love. The freedom to touch your body, to express your body, to try new things, to delight in the unknown, to dive into your kinks or to accept your fetishes. The freedom to. And that's really, really beautiful. But another sex researcher, Brenda Fawes, introduced another concept into it, which is freedom from. In essence, not only should good sex be a place where you can explore what you want to try, but it's also a place where you can deny some of the tropes that have been passed down to you, the social sexual scripts that tell you what kind of things you're supposed to like, what kind of sex you're supposed to be drawn to. Freedom to allows us to explore different sexual acts and sexualities. Freedom from allows us to reimagine our realities. And the last component of mind-blowing sex is freedom not to. And this is a brand new one that I'm entering into the chat because I have come to realize, especially as a result of motherhood, that what makes our yeses emphatic and juicy and meaningful and mind-blowing is the fact that we've said no to some other things. The freedom not to, in essence, means there are some things that you can admit just aren't for you, that aren't intriguing for you. And saying no doesn't make you a bad lover. In fact, it makes you an even better lover. And feeling confident in your no's makes your yeses that much more powerful, whether they come later on or 10 years from now. Freedom not to is not just for people who are exploring abstinence or chastity. It's also for people who want to say that right now, although sex is important to me and I value it, it's not urgent or a part of my priorities. It's also for people who can say, look, I'm freaky and I'm kinky and I love trying new things, but I won't do that. So in this episode, I'm going to take you on a journey as we explore the different sexual freedoms, starting with freedom to. which I think perfectly describes the stage that myself and my husband, slash the creative director of this podcast, Jared Brady, are currently in.
Happy brand new podcast.
Thank you. I'm turning to you to smile because I always think that you consent to these things without really knowing what we're talking about.
Freedom too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Freedom to do whatever you like. It's weird because I conflate the both, freedom to and freedom from, because when I hear freedom to, and maybe this is just because I'm speaking from a man's perspective, it's like freedom to get your nipples licked. Freedom to do some extra stuff that you would only do with a lifetime partner or somebody that you're really close with. That wouldn't be deemed the normalcy of like a male acting in sex.
Well, that's it. I think in many ways you need freedom from gendered expectations around sex in order to get the freedom to explore different parts of your body, explore different kinks.
Yeah.
You need the freedom from religious expectations around what sex is supposed to be in order to engage in the freedom to sodomy, right?
Just there, huh? Okay.
I think that this is meaningful for you and I because I'm happy to have this conversation in light of the conversation I had, you know, with Yancy and Pamika, because I was like, I think you need freedom from in order to get to freedom to, which they were like, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
But I do think in our particular relationship, that rings true for me, because when we first started to have sex, I remember we got to a certain place, like maybe a few months or maybe a year in, where you were like, you know, we don't have to do all the things. Like, we don't have to, it's a long life. We don't have to explore and try all of the things. And I feel like we're back to a freedom to phase.
Yeah.
And it feels more meaningful because between that moment and this moment, we have explored both freedom from and freedom not to.
Yeah.
I think the freedom from and freedom not to actually really heavily came during pregnancy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the honesty, right?
Yes.
It's like being able to talk through like what I'm comfortable with, what you're comfortable with, what you want to do, what you want to explore, and what you're like being okay with, like, hey, we're in a season right now where it's going to be slightly boring, do I want to say, or like not as frequent. And that's okay because it's still beautiful and it's still fun and it's still exciting and we're being able to focus on other parts of a relationship rather than being like, what's the freakiest thing we can do?
Yes. Although now I kind of feel like, what's the freakiest thing we could do?
Yeah, because we're exiting out of that phase, you know? But if we were freaky the whole time, I feel like it wouldn't be as freaky right now. It would be normal.
Well,
too much of a good thing isn't a good thing.
You love that. I love that line. Where's that from?
Bob Marley.
Yeah, okay.
Come on now.
You, this point in the internet that you wish was erased, that viral clip where you said to me during pregnancy that your sex drive was still high.
Oh, yeah.
But your drive to have sex with me.
Let me just be clear. I don't wish it was erased.
Because I thought you were about to say I didn't mean for it to come out that way.
No. Oh, well, that too. But I'm just like, it's not that, you know what it is? I've gotten to a space in life where I'm completely okay with what is on the internet and what I've said because I'm human. And I look at that conversation as like a real thing, like a real conversation. The second pregnancy, I feel like we had different conversations.
Well, can I just say what I wanted to say is that you saying that provided so much freedom for me.
Yeah.
And freedom that has been so meaningful throughout this maternal process because it's the freedom not to. We got together as fuck buddies.
Yeah.
So, and I always quote this, when we first moved in together, we had sex every single day.
Yeah.
Without question, without pause, rain or shine, sickness or health, like every single day that we shared a bed, we had sex. And that, you know, set up a hard cadence to follow up with. And also feeling like that was a foundational part of our relationship. So when we started, you know, when we were pregnant and things got different because new feelings came into play, new parts of ourselves that we had to explore, you know, you needed freedom from what you thought a mom was, what you felt like a pregnant woman was supposed to be and how you were supposed to treat her. And I needed freedom from what
what society was telling me about like what a mother does and what a mother doesn't do. I also needed freedom from having to feel like I was competing with my younger self. Mm-hmm. I was trying to compete with my childless self. So there were so many shifts that I think we had to go through independently. And throughout that, the freedom not to, and for that to actually mean that our relationship wouldn't die as a result.
Yeah.
So I feel like in the second pregnancy, I was the one who was like, yo, I'm not interested at all.
Yeah.
And you saying that the first pregnancy gave me the confidence that I could do that and we would still be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's real. These are like, these frameworks, freedom to, freedom from, freedom not to, is a part.
What? You remembered.
I think they're good frameworks for talking to your loved one about sex and about intimacy and being able to hear them instead of it coming out. Because when you say, I want freedom not to, it doesn't sound like yuck. Whereas if you would have just came to me and you know, said, I do not want to do that, I think it just comes out a little different than like...
If you would have said, like, if there was my sex drive is high, but my drive to have sex with you is not.
Okay. So there's still some residual feelings there. I see.
All right. So I want to talk about the freedom to thing, because I do feel like this is a unique stage that we're in now. I think Aria has greatly helped with this because now toys are like a normal part of our sexual play.
Yeah.
I really like that. And I have a toy actually that I'm really excited to try on you today.
What?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, because we did that Dame thing where we opened up all the toys.
Yeah.
There's a specific one. It's a clitoral vibrator, but it works really great on nipples.
Oh, okay.
Because it creates a suction.
Okay.
So I think you're going to really like that. Uh-huh. So I think that that's kind of something that we're opening ourselves back up to again, trying new techniques. I loved, one of my favorite things about the masterclass is that we got to do it together.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
So Jared was a co-writer of the masterclass, and his homework was to watch this sex class from this guy, Kenneth Powers. And I love about you is that, like, you're always down to adopt and try new things.
Yeah.
So you have that new move that you do with, like, throwing my leg over your back.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You did it yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a hit.
I mean, you got to learn. You got to try new things. It doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing. I think knowing that you don't know what you're doing sometimes is knowing what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. I really feel you in that philosophy.
You know?
I want to ask the million-dollar question, because I feel like this is a part of the Freedom 2 phase.
Yeah.
Do we actually have an open relationship?
In theory, but not right now.
I think I feel more confident talking about this now because I feel like there's other couples who are in this stage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, as we think about the Freedom 2 component, if that feels like something that you're excited about.
I mean, yeah, I've always, our whole relationship always been excited about it. I think that the idea of it and then the actual act of it are two worlds of difference, right? So I haven't been able to have the opportunity to act on the openness of our relationship. But I think a lot of that comes down to one.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, because you went on tour.
Yes.
You went to club after club after club.
Mm-hmm.
I left for a whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
You were home alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like a boy's summer for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you had multiple opportunities there.
Yeah.
So when you say you haven't had an opportunity, what does that mean?
It doesn't line up. It doesn't line up. Like, because this is what happens. It's like, there will be an opportunity, so to speak. And then I'm like, do I really want to? And then I think a lot of that has to come down to like 30 years of being in relationships where this was a no-go. And obviously, like, in my head and in my heart, I'm like, no, Shan would be totally fine. I just gotta, you know, get over. I think once the well is broken, it just hasn't been broken yet. And I like I said, it's a long life. So I'm not ever rushing to go to experiences. I'm also like, let things come when they come. And I maybe it's for me, I just want it to be so easy. I just want it to be a flowy thing that just kind of happens and that, you know, we're already in conversation. Oh, so-and-so, I think they're attractive. How do you feel? Like, Like, I just want it to be a little bit more easy. Now it's like always like, okay, let's decide if I really want to do this and do I really want to make this call? And there's all these things. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to share something with you that I didn't say before.
This part of the podcast, due to sensitive subject, is only available to the lovers community.
All right, so I don't think there's a better segue than that to bring in our sponsor, Bumble. And you guys know me, which I hope you can confidently say that you do. But I love me some tips, some tricks, and some techniques. But there comes a time and place where you can say, look, I think I have it from here, especially when it comes to dating. So at this point, if you have tried everything else, why not try dating your way on Bumble? Meaning, if you know what you like and what kind of relationship you'd like to get into, lean into that. Because on Bumble, you can now filter by interests and intentions. Trust me, there is a world where you can date exactly who you want, the way that you want to date. So date now on Bumble. When you think about the term freedom to, how would you fill in that blank? What does Jared want freedom to do right now?
I think I want to give myself freedom to talk a little more shit during sex. I feel like I'd be thinking it, but I don't talk that much shit during sex. And I know you voiced, you want some dirty talk, but I don't go there a lot of times. So I think I can get my freedom to do that.
Yes. Yeah. You said something to me yesterday that I really, really loved.
What'd I say?
It wasn't yesterday. Yesterday we went to bed at 8 p.m.
So yeah, let me just saying. Reverse. I was like, what? It wasn't me.
Yesterday I went to bed at 8 p.m. with the kids. But you said... It was simple.
Yeah.
But like erotic.
Yeah.
And then it also kind of like spoke to my praise kink a little bit.
Yeah.
In like a freaky way.
Yeah.
I feel like kind of opposite to you, actually.
Yeah.
What I'm giving myself the freedom to... is to fantasize.
Yeah.
I think for a long time, I've thought of fantasy as a betrayal to the relationship or to the connection. Because I'm like, no, you have to be present. You have to be in the moment. You have to be. And that's why I really dove into like tantric sex and breath work. So I'm like, how do I get more present? You know, but I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
And I love romance novels. I love erotica. I love the concept of sex and sexuality, period.
Yeah.
So my brain goes to some weird places.
Hey.
And I don't think that's... I think it can stay there. There's parts of, I think, that my fantasy world that I share with you.
Yeah.
And there are parts that are just for me. So, like, while I'm intimate with you and I'm giving myself to you and I'm pouring into you, I also want the freedom to keep some things for myself.
Yeah, as you should. As you should.
Because you don't ask about my fantasies, so I don't think you really want to know.
You told me one. I was like, all right, okay. I support it.
There's been new ones. So I can keep you updated on how the story has evolved.
Yeah, when you think of a really good one, you can tell me.
Okay. That's
good. Of course. Happy podcast lunch.
Thank you. Next, I wanted to chew on the concept of freedom from, and I couldn't think of anyone better than queer women who have had to release themselves from so many expectations and ideals around what a sexual woman should be. What's up, friends?
Hello.
Can you introduce yourselves, please?
Yes, I am Yancy. I am queer, she, her, and fun fact, I have my favorite band tattooed on my thigh.
I did not know that.
Yes,
and now
it's,
I get to,
big.
Don't tell me what band it is. Now I get to like discover that as our intimacy grows.
Fantastic.
Show me right now.
I love how you lowered your voice and you just got really commanding there.
My name is Premika Leo. I am pansexual and I use she, they pronouns, but I actually don't have preferred pronouns. And a fun fact about me is that I've been on the stage literally the moment I got outside the uterus. I'm not lying. My mom birthed me and I was on stage in her arms while she danced and I Google Gaga'd all over the stage.
Okay, friends, this is the point of the video where you get to compliment me on my masterclass and tell me what you liked.
Yes.
I really did like it. I'm coming from an anthropological background
as well. Thank you.
And you know me, the Odyssey dancer, so erotic art is very important to me. And I learned things that I really kind of went there thinking, like, I know everything about the human body. This is what I do. Like, I learned things that I did not know existed. from communication styles to different positions and how to utilize them to like the best of the, like it was like a spectrum of usages for each position, which I hadn't even considered before.
Yes. Yeah, for me, the scripts, like from a queer standpoint,
yes,
that was so affirming to just steer away from the scripts and it's okay to have your own. And also, core play and foreplay, honestly, your definition of foreplay was great too, because it's not just first bait, third bait, like all of those steps. Yeah. It's just
this arousal, is what it is,
but not necessarily orgasm. And foreplay is the part where the orgasm comes up.
Yes. And that relates to me to sexual social scripts, because the triple S, baby, you don't have to have these set definitions. I think that in heteronormative sex, there's like things that are relegated to the foreplay world.
Yes.
That often are people with vulvas' favorite things. And then core play is everything else. Mm-hmm. And that like subconsciously tells you that your pleasure is the optional part. Like, yes, when I go to a restaurant, I'm not there for the appetizers, although I am more of a tapas style eater. But that aside, I think you go for like the main events and you're like, okay, I don't need an appetizer. Mm-hmm. But I think if we redefine it to put the things that we like into core play, then our partner understands that these are non-negotiables.
I think that, well, that's what I liked about the masterclass. There's so much communication that goes into your sexual style and your partner's sexual style, mm-hmm, and then finding that middle ground.
I just want to say how affirming it is to get compliments from you guys about learning, because I learned so much from both of you. You just taught me a word yesterday at my kitchen table I never heard before, which is lavender marriage.
Lavender marriage.
Yes. And you continue to teach me things. And I think as queer women, you know, you hold so much, you know, rich information. And while we talked about it in the class a little bit, the freedom from component, it isn't something that we completely deeply went into. Mm. So if we wanted to give people more permission, I'd love to hear about your journeys from decoupling yourselves from heteronormative scripts and societies in order to live queer out loud in your full pleasure and in your bloom.
I think when we talk about unlearning those scripts, you're also talking about your intersectional self that was created through these scripts, right? So it's like, did your race, did your culture come into these conversations? Is there like more like shame about sex? So I had been in a lavender marriage with somebody who was very much affected by religion, by culture, to think that sex was like kind of dirty and very taboo. So if I asked for something out of the norm, it was like, oh my, like it was like I was hurting them. So I was like, okay, we got to keep it very vanilla, we have to keep it, you know, senses like very, very simple, which was great for them, but then anything that I had was also just kind of thrown to the wind. And so we almost played like heteronormative in the way that it was like whatever the man wants and then the woman go cook and clean kind of thing. So it was more virtuous for me to not have any asks or demands, right? But it's like a lot of unlearning, a lot of like almost decolonization of the body when you really think of it.
Yeah. I like people that are mask presenting. So just not having that expectation that because you're masked, you have to play this role, that you have to be this protective or this person that takes care of the bills all the time, that you can really ebb and flow. And I think in terms of dynamics, that's really cool. Like you can have two people that are really caring, that are soft with each other, and there's not necessarily that who's the man.
Yes.
And that versatility also in the bedroom where we just can explore what are you curious about, and circling back to the conversations. I think the conversations, the way you brought that up in the masterclass makes the conversations about sex something that's fun.
That was definitely something I took away, where it was supposed to be fun and explorative and adventurous and something you can do together or on your own. Like, I really like that take versus it being like something that's stressful.
Yes.
Heavy, scary, taboo.
Shameful. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of that. Like, I had to unlearn a lot of shame on my own.
I want to piggyback off what you said though, mm-hmm, because it was like once you got through the shame, then you can open your mind to this whole world. I think when we talk about sex and trying something new, we often go to the freedom to category. Mm. We're like, oh, like you want to spice it up? Like, try this toy, this thing. Have you heard of BDSM? And do you think for most people, they need to start at freedom from? That in order to really open yourself up to new ideas and to new things, and for them to actually feel good for you, you have to do a lot of the process of decoupling yourself from societal shame, or as you coined so nicely, sexpectations.
I think so, because it's starting by understanding where those come from. Sometimes you hold belief from your parents, like from school, from where you learn sex ed. So it really allows you to see, do I actually believe these things, or is it just, are they just things that I've heard that I'm repeating? That for me, that was a lot of like comments, or if men do this, then that means they're gay. Like, I've had that mentality, right? Mm-hmm. And my friend was like, girl, check yourself.
And I think what you said is so true, is that it's just a simple question of asking yourself, do I actually think this, or is this just what's been repeated to me over and over and yes. over again? And you don't really know until you go on that journey. And sometimes that journey, you find out some shitty things about yourself. Mm. You're like, oh, I'm kind of low-key homophobic, or, yeah. you know, I kind of low-key have these certain belief systems. And, you know, I have an ageist perspective on what mm-hmm. is sexy and what is not sexy. Mm-hmm. And addressing all of those things, you know, can be uncomfortable. But on the other side of it, you have an opportunity to approach all of these things with just like a fresh, free mindset.
Yeah. For me, I think it can be both. It can be really stressful if it has like a psychological impact. It can be really stressful to go like freedom to, because now you're like, okay, this is a lot. But I kind of want to encourage people to lean into their shames, because it's saying something like, I didn't know I enjoyed impact play, but I knew it. And then I have my partner right now who's like very, very communicative, and is like, okay, we'll do things, like tell me like what you're interested in, and we'll go from there, because I'm the explorative one. I'm always gonna have your back. There's no right or wrong here, which is something that I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel safe to like open up. So like when we have the conversation about hentai, let's sit and okay, show me your favorite one, I'll show you my favorite one. Oh, we can do this. Yeah, it's like watching TV. Oh, okay, well now I've accessed a part of their imagination, and they've accessed like a part of my imagination that yeah. is like in these representations.
I want to address, for me, I think an assumption that I made, which is when you come out as queer, mm-hmm. you knock all that stuff down. You already have to dismantle and address. Yes, check me.
Yeah, I'm only doing my exploration now. Right. And I think a lot of people assume, not, this is why I say intersectionality, right? Because as a dancer, as an Odyssey dancer specifically, there's this idea like, oh, like it's so close to like ancient India, Kama Sutra. And I'm like, yeah, I know these things, but I never got the chance to practice these things because I had so much like shame about my body, shame about being a woman, right? Shame about like what I was interested in. But really, really and truly, when you look at these temple walls, it's like man on man, woman on woman, or like groups with different like all kinds of bodies all together. And I'm like, well, if they can do it, why can't I? And like, we look at these buildings and we just like revere them. I'm like, well, why can't we do that now? Like everybody, like, come on, let's do it like the ancestors, you know, on the temple walls, like somebody's upside down.
I would say the touch. So when you were talking about the touch, I've never thought about that. The lower back being an erogenous zone.
I'm the like, nerve.
Yes. Find my nerve right now, please.
That's something we could do right after this.
Come here.
Right? Let's start.
We got to know each other really well yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, I heard the spanking story. The fuck was details left out. I'll leave you to it.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Now that we've talked about freedom to and freedom from, I want to talk about freedom not to. And I am so proud to have this conversation with my Lovers by Shan community. This is a space for us to get to know each other on a first name basis. We have invited in our first cohort, who I'm excited to introduce you to right now. A big part of having great sex, of having mind-blowing sex, and of having a great sex life has to do with the sex you say no to. And it's through your 10 toes down emphatic no's that you can have and experience your hell yeses. I'd love to hear the different sexual boundaries that you guys are currently standing 10 toes on, whether it has to do with abstinence or a period of time where you're just saying, I'm deprioritizing sex, or there's particular sex acts that you've come to realize are just not part of your pleasure principles.
I'm a super sensory kind of person, and like, the smells, the sounds, a little bit of everything can really affect how I feel. And one hard no for me is anything that is hot. I can't do hot wax. Or even when I get like a massage, when they try to ask if I want like a hot towel or hot stones, it will ruin my whole experience.
I love that, because that must open up more possibilities to explore versus closing.
I'm in the exploring like kinks right now with my spouse and with our kind of unicorn friend. And so we've been talking about kinks a lot, and the like age play came up of like using daddy. And I was like, that just turns me right off. So I never want to use daddy in the bedroom. Like, it's just very cringe. And then like to the more extreme, like I've looked into, I don't know, like leather and not leather, latex and stuff like that. And I found a vac bed, and that terrifies me. Also, I don't know. This is a no, that is a no right now, that maybe down the line will change. Role playing, just because I find it so awkward every time I try. It's just, it's so uncomfortable. And I'm like, it's not doing what it should be doing. So no role playing for right now.
That's so funny, because I feel like you basically said everything that was in my head. I was gonna mention the thing about daddy and role playing too, but I wanted to like for what other people were gonna say.
I love role playing though.
That's awesome. I wish. I kind of want to, but it's just not for me. At least not for now.
I love that you said that, Stephanie, too, of the like, not for me, not now.
I think we should all start with the no's. So then it doesn't feel like this constant negotiation, or you're not worried that your partner is going to take it to a space that you're not comfortable with. Like, you really can't lean in if you don't know what direction you guys are going to go into. So like this quote that was given to me once, they said that in the vanilla world, everything is a yes until you get a no. So you're always pushing to get the no. And then in the kink world, you start off with the no's so you can dive into the yeses.
I feel like when I was young, you know, you just kind of would do what your partner would kind of throw at you. And now I just feel very confident with being like, no, I don't want to do that.
I turned 40 earlier this month, and I want to share that I only experienced orgasm like 4 years ago. And for some people this might feel like a basic realization, but for me, I think I'm opting out of sexual acts that are solely centered on male pleasure. Basically, I'm giving myself permission to say, I don't want this, I don't like this, even if I'm the one who initiated sex. I feel like allowing myself to have this permission is very empowering. I feel like I can finally lean into having pleasure and exploring, because I know I can say no.
I give myself the freedom not to have sex when I am not as in the mood, not tired, not mentally strong, and not just not present. I have had like some not so very good experiences in my past where I have told men no. So I have recently really demanded of myself that I really tell Keon like no. I had to sit down and we had to talk about, you know, what does sex look like for each of us? What is pleasurable for him versus what is pleasurable for me? How do I get there and how do I stay there? So that was a really... that was a necessary conversation for me, and I think even for him to understand, like, when Kenita says no, the sex will be better when she really is all in and says yes.
Thank you all for being here for the relaunch of the podcast, now called Lovers by Shan. So in this episode, I gave you the framework for great sex, and in my class on Masterclass, I provide tangible tips and scripts for each delicious freedom. So it's 2 hours of everything I know from 20 years of research, and I dare you to tell me that you didn't learn something. And speaking of learning, please check out my new website, loversbyshan.com. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter of intimate stories and lessons. Then, if you're really about it,
join the waitlist for my lovers community. And that's all for now, but trust me, I'm gonna be back. And next week, I'll be back with Mario.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,